Welcome to Androids and Assets, a weekly podcast about the political economy of all of our favorite science fiction and fantasy series. Join us as we investigate the hidden meanings in fantastic worlds and what the future can tell us about today. We upload new episodes every Monday. We hope you enjoy it.
Welcome to Androids and Assets. I'm Marshall.
And I'm Steven.
We're talking about Bright today, Netflix's newest big blockbuster starring Will Smith, widely panned as being the worst movie of 2017.
It's got some stiff competition. I don't know.
Well, we did see Valerian.
So, yeah, well, we'll let the history book sort that out. But Bright is, I think, actually very thematically dense movie, but maybe not in the way that a lot of people think. And Marsh and I, this is, I think, a very interesting one because Marsh and I have two very different readings of this movie, I think.
Very true.
And of course, obviously, this the kind of one of the main pieces is race and how race plays out in the course of this film.
Yeah, I think they were trying very overtly to make race, to make some critiques of race and racial relations in the United States through this movie. It's ham-fisted in its attempts, but it does talk about race, which is good.
The first 2 minutes of Bright is actually really amazing. Like the intro sequence to Bright is just basically all of this. It's all shot just pictures of graffiti, and it's all kind of iconic Los Angeles graffiti, mostly of black men, but instead of with black men in the pictures, it's orcs. So, you know, this very iconic one of the guys in the, you know, men in the prison, orange prison fatigues, climbing a wall of a house, and one of the, you know, the orc is making a gun fingers and pointing at a police, and but it says, and instead of saying, you know, fuck the police, or, you know, it says curse the police, which is pretty funny because there's magic. And it wears this kind of history of black struggle in the city of Los Angeles and the longstanding feud between the Los Angeles Police Department and its poor ethnic residents, and it very much frames the movie in those terms.
I think that's also where it sort of becomes a little bit ham-fisted, is that it frames it this way, and it's almost over the top, which we've discussed this before. Maybe I like a little bit more subtlety in my art. It felt like they were beating me over the head with it. Here's the imagery of orcs are black people, and here's... We set it up in numerous ways that through the imagery at the credits at the beginning of the movie, it's clearly they're black people. And throughout the course of the movie, we see Will Smith and saying, oh, are you a cop or are you an orc? As if, you know, you are one or the other. When I don't think at any point anyone ever has asked Will Smith, are you a human or are you a cop? I could be wrong, but I think this has happened to Will Smith in other movies when he's the junior cop and people are like, wait, are you going to side with your community or are you going to side with the cops? He's now doing it to somebody different. So it's very overtly setting it up as orcs are black people. And it just bludgeons you with that through...
Until it gets to being all about shooting and guns, and then it kind of, the movie's not about anything for about an hour, and then it kind of gets back to it a little bit at the end.
True. It does, though, point out that despite everything, Mexican people in L.A., Hispanics in L.A.
can only be gangbangers.
Can only be gangbangers.
Sorry, I took your line. I stepped on your line. I feel bad.
That's okay.
It's tough to follow up. Yeah, so racism is very much a huge part of this world. There's dynamics, because one of the things that bothers me about Bright, and it bothers me about all fantasy settings, is that humans always get this de facto complex language and cultures, and, you know, and subgroups of humans. So like humans speak Spanish and Russian and English, and, you know, but orcs speak orc. They're just, yeah, I'm an orc and I'm getting better at orc stuff. And we all have our one orc language and our one orc ethnicity and one orc identity.
Elves speak Elvish.
Yep. Yeah.
It's a beautiful lilting tongue, you know, sounds like a romantic Irish.
And this is, and this gets into kind of my objection, I guess, the film, in the sense that it takes, there's all this, there's this sort of like de facto racism. We talked about it in Tolkien. We see it in other fantasy settings as well. But I think it's really present in D&D. Well, humans are adaptable and diverse, and other species are ancient and entrenched, not as dynamic. All dwarves love mining and shiny things. You know, that's ridiculous. They're just stereotypes. And this logic gets imported out of whatever RPG reality you want. Some people say this is very much a Shadowrun thing. I don't know if it really delivers on all the Shadowrun stuff, all the Shadowrun labels that got put on it, specifically because, you know, I think one of the big things, there's no punk element, I guess. Like, Shadowrun is the archetypical punk, cyberpunk RPG. And there was no punk part. It was just establishment authority figures running around and fighting other establishment authority figures. So at no point is anyone really like, we need to subvert. We're hackers and street thugs who, you know, fight the corporation. Because that certainly is not part of this.
No, I don't think ever really in the movie did they question the power structures that were in place, which was kind of interesting. The only power structure that they questioned was, of course, race. But they didn't. There was no question that elves should be in charge. Driving through Elf Town, all of the elves were rich and snobby and beautiful, but it was clear that they were the ones that should be in charge. Never was it said, should we have an orc in Congress? So it was just like, these are the structures that are in place. And they are the proper structures because elves are leaders and humans are adaptable to do anything else. And orcs are evil.
And the only time that racism is really inexcusable amongst serving individuals, the only place that a person stands alone on their merit in military and paramilitary associations. That's the place where you can shirk that. And the real thing is, and the real crime is, the waste of talent and virtue and fortitude in the armed services. So the notion that, you know, there is, and it was kind of interesting when you think about like kind of history of racist regimes. There was, for example, a saying in the South African army in the 1980s, there's no apartheid in the army, which is complete bullshit. Complete crock of shit. But it's true that black people, you know, white people, all the officers were white, virtually, exclusively. But certainly there was a sense that black people who were in the military serving alongside whites or under whites were granted privileges to which they would not have outside of that structure. And I really feel that for this movie that's supposed to be so critical of the cops in LA and so critical of racist apartheid in North America, it really buys that thin blue line logic. It kind of ends up in this weird Blue Lives Matter-y place. And, you know, and there's that glib line about the ferry.
Yeah. Oh, ferry lives don't matter today.
Yeah. And this very dismissive of Black Lives Matter and, you know, just kind of shrugging it off.
Disappointing to see Will Smith deliver the line, especially.
Well, Black Lives Matter is not popular amongst, does not seem to carry a lot of favor with some celebrities. Certainly Oprah, for example, is very critical of Black Lives Matter, actually. You know, and so it's not surprising. If I was a very rich person, I would not want a bunch of people rocking the race boat, particularly since when I had worked as hard as I had to make do in the system we had. Of course, I can't read anyone's mind. So
I did really enjoy when the orc cop shows up at Will Smith's door. His daughter comes outside and Will Smith is talking, is being mean to his partner. His daughter stops and turns around and says, "Daddy, you can't talk to him that way. He's a person and he matters." Which I really enjoyed, sort of that, like, the innocence of children.
And it gives you hope for this movie. A hope which Will Smith immediately destroys by turning to his black neighbors and ragging on them for having a raucous party on their front lawn during the day. Essentially just being racist to his neighbors immediately after. Which is, which I think becomes this, like, this pattern, this trend throughout the rest of the movie. Like, it kind of promises you this big thing, and it kind of point, and this is where Marshall and I differ. But it tells you it's going one way, and then it does this really horrible 180 in the sense that it kind of sets you up to think it's about this ethnic struggle in Los Angeles between the police and its oppressed minorities. But then it goes and it takes their sort of their fictionalized archetypal minority, the orcs, and it codes them as white. And then it takes the bulk of the police officers and the people they're interacting with and has them played by, you know, Latinos and black people. And you end up with this weird situation where you have a fictional minority coded as white being having slurs uttered against them by people of color. And it's really messed up. And it really bothered me about this movie that you get this weird situation.
Can you explain the coding again for me?
Sure. All right. So the way that orcs are coded as white is chiefly in the fact that it's kind of in all their kind of subcultural context. So primarily, like, first of all, the music, right? They listen to a lot of they listen to very driving kind of heavy metal music. They don't have a hip hop vibe at all. My big objection comes with the party scene. So there has they go and they end up breaking into this, interrupting this big orc party that they're having, which becomes a major plot point later in the film. And again, it's heavy metal music. It's like this kind of like Nordic, kind of Nordic motifs. There's this like deer antler headed guy, this like antler headed costume guy on stage. It's very like, you know, dressed in furs, kind of like this Nordic berserker kind of thing. Yeah. And then to top it all off, like, you have this kind of showdown with the chief orc at the end, the godfather of the orcs. and he's sitting on this. And again, like, you have this again, like a lot of Nordic imagery embedded into that scene. And he's sitting on this throne that's made of deer antlers. Again, and it's got this whole like tree motif, and it's very Nordic, and there's reference to Odin. My big problem is the way that the Nordic symbolism is coded on the orcs, and that's, you know, and it makes sense that they would do that, because certainly orcs in most fantasy representations have a coding of sort of pre-modern European civilizations, so they get that comes part and parcel with orcs. Kind of historically, and that's their own racist baggage. But then the problem is that just gets imported out of those fantasy settings and implanted right into this context with dire ramifications, I feel, in the sense that I think like somebody could like, you know, I thought about going on Stormfront and seeing if anyone was talking about this movie. I couldn't bring myself to do it at the end of the day, but I could totally see the racists and kind of fascistoid individuals that I know being like, yeah, it's this compelling story of, you know, minorities putting down the white working man.
So I'm more in the camp that I think your last point about the coding being just sort of adopted wholesale out of our cultural understanding of orcs, I think that's what they were wrestling with. So they tried as hard as they could at the beginning of the movie to set them up as black people and say, like, look, we're doing everything we can to show you they're black. You'll see later that there's imagery that makes them sound European, or they have European imagery also associated with them. But don't forget that we're telling you that they're black people. But fans, I think, would be more upset if you removed that Nordic imagery, because those aren't even orcs at all. I mean, we see this is a huge problem, I think, that movies face nowadays, is the fan reaction when anything has this history. We're very, very resistant to letting people change that on us. And so they're trying to both include that imagery so that people recognize them and are comfortable with them as being orcs, but also are able to recognize them as being representative of the black population.
Yeah, but I mean, like, I guess I totally hear what you're saying, but I think that's also racist. Like think about like when the first Thor movie came out, and who's that guy that Idris Elba, the character that Idris Elba plays, the keeper of the Rainbow Bridge,
Trondheim.
Trondheim, yeah. Like they had Trondheim. Idris Elba played Trondheim. And it was a huge backlash against this. There was a bunch of like, you had a bunch of nerds on the internet saying, you can't have a black guy playing a Norse god, because Norse gods are white. And this sort of like, and that's deeply racist. That's a deeply racist sentiment. And Marvel held out, you know, they fought it, and that's good. But I think that same logic is extending to these orcs. It's less direct, but like the fact that people would, I think you're right, but would have a huge reaction if orcs were kind of stripped of their savage, barbarian, Conan-esque ways.
I don't know that we would say, oh, that's racist, but I think you would have fantasy fans who say, well, they didn't really understand fantasy, did they? That's not how orcs look. That's not how orcs behave. That wasn't an orc religion. Because I played Warcraft, and this is what orcs did, and I played,
yeah,
whatever,
yeah,
D&D and orcs all look the same, and so I don't know that people would say, well, now you've made black orcs, that's racist, because they did make black orcs, and it's that over the head metaphor that they're trying to use. I really think they're just trying to merge the two of saying, we want them to represent black people in this movie, but we also want to honor your understanding of orcs so that you can enjoy the film while we're beating you over the head with this metaphor.
So we either come to the point where it's either too direct or secretly saying the opposite. We leave it to you, the listener, to decide. Do you have anything else you want to say on this?
Well, I think it's still related somewhat, but throughout the movie, there are clues given about throughout the movie, there's foreshadowing. Will Smith's daughter says, I hope you don't die. And immediately my friend said, whoop, he's going to die now.
Chekhov's pistol.
Exactly, right?
Chekhov's little girl.
A drunk guy or something, inebriated in some fashion.
He's a member of arrest. The son.
Yeah, he's a
magical cultist.
Whatever. Whatever his character role
it's
is.
It's a plot hole.
They arrest him. He's in the back of the car, and he's talking about the orc, and he says, oh, you're part of a prophecy. And he's referring to the same prophecy that had happened 2,000 years earlier when an orc
defeated the Dark Lord, took his wand from him.
Right.
Yeah.
And that happens a few times where they're like, wow, this is an orc from prophecy. And then it's not Will Smith that dies, but it's the orc, and he's brought back. It's not the orc that grabs the magic wand and saves the day. It's Will Smith. And that, to me, that subversion there was more troubling than coding orcs as being potentially white. It was that we have these people who are representing... Will Smith was representing the police and the
hegemony.
The hegemony that exists now. And they made him the hero.
So it just becomes the brave knight with his underclass servant saving the day.
And I think that was the most troubling part to me, was that you could have very easily made it the orc and followed through. And yeah, maybe people would say, well, that was predictable. But it's also more meaningful to say, yes, it was the orc, the black subculture that rose up and defeated evil.
And showed the police and the authoritarian structures the error of their ways.
But instead, it's still the police doing their thing, protecting the people, taking risks no matter what it takes. Because he was pretty sure that wand was going to kill him. But that's what police do. They put their lives on the line every day for you and I. So that was troubling to me. I really did not like that surprise twist ending. It was
right.
A missed opportunity.
Yeah, it totally. Yeah, it's another one of the examples where they have an opportunity to do something and they just roll back on it. They just immediately it has no courage to go forward with it. And never mind then this weird what is it, 8% of the population or 0.08, however many people, like brights. So these people who can use magic wands, which are limitlessly powerful. They're special magical people, and they're an incredibly small percentage of the population of any race and who could use these wands. And of course, Will Smith just happens to be one of this incredibly rare.
Completely undiscovered up to this point.
Yeah, well, there's no way to find out except by taking life in your hands and picking up a wand,
I guess.
So,
though I did wonder, is Will Smith going to have to go to 7 years of wizard school now?
Oh, I hope so. Get him on that train.
The Los Angeles School of Wizardry.
USCM, University of Southern California Magic. I mean, it's not an Ivy League, but I don't think you could afford to go to Magic Berkeley. So, yeah. So aside from that point we disagree on, we do agree that militarism and this kind of fetishizing of a police and law and order mentality is really, really thick in it and just lays it on.
There is some criticism of police brutality. They do have some scenes of...
They have some bad cops.
They have some bad cops.
Who are white.
Who are
mostly white.
Yeah, some of them are white. Some of them are not. Internal Affairs, they had a David Schwimmer lookalike. He was a bad guy. They were quite comfortable, though, subverting justice when they said to Will Smith, we need to fire this orc cop, but we can't do it without evidence. Here's a recording device. Get him to admit to letting an orc escape and record it. And Will Smith is like, I'm no rat. If I do that, I could never be a street cop ever again.
Blue Brotherhood.
And then they say, well, you know, if you don't do it, you're going to lose your job. So he takes the recording device and he says, fine, I'll do it. But I'm not going on the record and I'm not giving depositions and I'm not going to be a witness in court. So they said, we need evidence. And he said, I'll do everything but give you evidence. And they were satisfied with it.
They were good with that. I think once they have the recording, then I think they feel confident enough to shake them down, you know?
Maybe. Anyway, subverting justice was definitely a thing that they were all quite comfortable with. The police were corrupt, clearly corrupt.
But not the few good cops.
Jacoby was good.
The good cops make it all worthwhile. Ward was good.
That Hispanic guy that they killed was good.
Yeah, the sheriff. Yeah. He's a good cop. There are good cops and there are bad cops. But the important thing is we don't question the institution of policing as a structural issue.
Sometimes cops are bad, and sometimes they beat people up more than they should have. But rest assured, they were only beating up bad people. So, yeah, it was more force than was necessary. And it might be uncomfortable to watch, but take heart. It was a bad person getting beaten up was the messaging that happened throughout when you saw
violence,
four or five cops beating up on one guy shouting, stop resisting, which they could have just used stock footage
of the real LAPD.
Exactly. Again, it was that sort of really blunt criticism. So it was there, but yeah, the thin blue line was definitely in place that there's bad cops and some of them are bad. But you support cops no matter what, because the ones that are good are worth having some bad ones.
And in this respect, we think that as a vehicle for critical thought, Bright overpromises and underdelivers.
Yeah, it's a fairly standard cop action film, though by audience review, it seems to be an amazing movie. The critics have panned it, but the audience response is a phenomenal. A quick scroll through Twitter on the Bright hashtag showed a wide variety of users. All quite enjoyed the movie. All found it to be an effective criticism.
I don't know. I think this is a Russian.
So, you know, if you watch Bright, keep an eye out for these things. Let us know if you disagree with us or if you've got different thoughts. We're on iTunes. You can leave a comment there or on our website, androidsandassets.ca.
Music from this episode has been from an Ant and an Adam. Thanks so much for your support.